Well, you know what? Anyone that needs hope. And hope can be you don't have what it takes. You don't have the support system. You don't have the family. You don't have the deep pockets. You don't have the inheritance. You don't have the hair. You don't have the background, the complexion, whatever it is, whatever it is that's going to make you feel disqualified. My main thing is hopefully when they see me and maybe even when they see my stories, that they feel like they have a chance and that they give themselves a chance. Because like you go to my Instagram, you see all these red carpets or Carrie Underwood or whoever like I'm taking photos with and all these big smiles. But I think it's really important to for people to know that that's not my everyday life. And I got there with, you know, a lot going on behind the curtain. So I just feel like it just people having that real human element and anybody that needs hope.
Love it.
That's deep.
Yeah, I love it. No, I love That's it. That's deep, what man. It's
We're
about.
We're getting real deep on this podcast. I love yeah. it.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast, where we dive into thoughtful conversations and insightful discussions with world-class people, all with the aim of inspiring, educating, and empowering our listeners.
We are thrilled to have you here with us on this exciting journey to explore the diverse stories and the ideas that have the power to shape the world for the better.
Welcome to Growth Untold, the podcast.
Today, we're thrilled to welcome one of Canada's rising stars in country music. With her authentic sound, she has captivated audiences across America, breaking barriers and carving a unique space as a talented voice in the country music scene. She has become a symbol of resilience, talent, and the power of embracing one's individuality. Welcome, Sasha, to the Growth Untold podcast.
Oh, that was really kind. Thank you.
Welcome. Uh-huh. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Congratulations on all your success, especially recently. Congrats. We want to always like to start the show going back to early days. So you were born in Montreal, but you moved right away, right?
Yeah, I was like toddler and moved to a little small town in Ontario called Warkworth, Ontario.
Okay. How was that?
Warkworth is pretty cool. It's a really small town. It's probably most of my formative and earliest recollections of growing up. And it's agricultural, real country landscape. Yeah.
So did that really inspire you to go into country music specifically, like that specific genre?
I'm sure it had something to do with that. I mean, my parents, my mom and my step-in dad at that time had a band. So music's always been part of my life. Like, my upbringing. There's like rehearsals in the homes or up the street, or we go to like a little, you know, the Royal Legion right up the street and sometimes go and check out their gigs. They drag us along. So I didn't know it wasn't normal to come home after school and not have a rehearsal or someone, you know, wigging out on a guitar at home.
And what genre was the band?
That's always a good question because I till this day can't really figure it out. I think when I asked, it was like alternative folk or something. I don't know. But I know there was rock. I know there was guitars.
Right.
I know their band's name was called The Arguments. So.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. And you have a twin sister.
I have a twin sister. Yeah.
And you have two brothers?
Two older brothers. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys all just followed your parents around. Were any of the kids part of the band or no? Just
no,
your parents?
Actually, I think one of my brothers, he played drums. I can't remember if he ended up having to play for a gig once, but or at drum rehearsals, but he was on the kit a couple times.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were you all into music? Like you, your sister, your brothers all into music?
In some capacity, yeah. I mean, whether it was like, you know, just love listening to music or my sister and I definitely, I think we were a little bit more musically inclined when it came to like the instruments or like writing songs or, you know, dreaming about it.
Yeah. And so how old were you when you thought like this is something that I could do full time, like this is what I want to do for life?
Yeah, that's a good question because I feel like it was always innate. Like I feel like it was just something from childhood.
You were born into it.
Yeah. I mean, then life happens and then you wonder how are you going to carry that out, right?
Right. Yeah. So what was that journey like for you?
Where do we start?
Start wherever you want.
Yeah, I mean, growing up in music, small town, whatever you think, that's kind of part of your DNA. And then we moved out of the small town to Oshawa. So we kind of got a little, you know, learned how to read some streetlights and, you know, take a public transit, you know, go to school and see different faces and learn about different cultures. We kind of had a bit of a family breakdown, though, not too long after. And if I fast forward to like a time when I was like 17 years old, that's when I had to be out on my own. And I remember, you know, stuff was just going down. And I remember sitting on a mattress like in the home that we had lived in. And there was like a sheriff's note on the door. We're getting evicted. I'm just like, okay, where do I go? How do I survive, really? My first job was Tim Hortons.
Okay, classic Canadian.
Classic Canadian.
Wow. You're so much more Canadian doubles. Now.
I really am.
And this was like, at 17?
This was at 17, and it was just like, I never had a part-time job. It was full-time immediately. So learning how to survive, put a roof over your head, and, you know, live life and still have this dream tucked away in your heart.
Did you guys all split up? Like,
yeah, my brothers were already out. My sister and I were the ones that were left. My mom had some stuff that was going on. Our family, by the way, I just want to say everyone is well and all together today. Wow. It's just a part of everyone's journey and stuff that had happened.
Wow, so everybody found their way back.
We found our way, man. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, myself included. But so my sister and I were just kind of like, okay, where do we go? Throw all of our stuff in a cab and figure out where we're going to go, whether it's in garbage, take what we had in garbage bags and try and sneak and sleep over at some of our friends' houses until we found like a family that kind of helped us, you know, get our footing for
a
bit.
So you and your sister together?
Yeah, we split up at some point too. It's really a blur because it was kind of like, you're in survival mode, right? We were together for a bit and then she was off on her own for a bit and then we came back. It was just a mess. But so I mean, long story short, you just have to work. You just got to work. You got to survive. You got to put, you know, roof over your head. You know, finally got, you know, our own apartment. That's when we came back. We got our own apartment.
Okay.
And that's just life. Life just goes on, right? And but again, like, you got this dream in your heart. And you wonder how you're supposed to go from like struggling or stirring that double double to singing on a stage.
No, that's incredible. Good for you. Because a lot of people obviously, you know, unfortunately get put into that situation and, you know, some people stay homeless and they never figure it out, you know, so you figured it out. So,
yeah, somehow that's the thing, right? And then you get misguided, right? Like you're drinking way too much or you're running all over the streets and just, you know, really careless, right? And misguided. And that could have turned a lot worse than it has. Some people didn't really make it out of that, right?
So yeah, exactly. So good for you. How long did that last? Like, what would you say?
It was a few years. It was a blur, actually, when I think back to it. But I mean, it wasn't too long. It wasn't like a 10-year thing. You know, I shaped up, you know, maybe a couple years after. And I think the fact that I have worked kept me, you know, a little bit like responsible.
Yeah.
Right. That's that part.
Okay. So that's that part. And then how do you go from that to finally, you know, pursuing your passion? Yeah. Do you start doing open mics in Toronto? Yeah. Like, what were you doing?
I remember doing open mics in Oshawa. I remember being so terrified too, like singing, like, and again, I had a twin sister, so for the most part, we would sing together. And then when I'm going solo, I was just terrifying. Like, I mean, I was like, the anxiety took over my ability to even sing at times or play guitar, you know. And I remember getting my feet wet just singing at, you know, these, some of them were homeless shelters too, but also the open mics and writing a song and then testing it out there. And then it just slowly progressed to, you know, maybe like an event. And then I decided to start my own little school tour. And so I'd go and perform at schools.
Wow.
All over. And
yeah. And then specifically just for the genre of country. So how did you fall into to love of country?
That's, I mean, it's just been in my roots. Like, it's just kind of like when I started going to the open mics and the school tour and everything, is when I tapped into just songwriting and the fragments of what I wanted to say, which when it comes out in storytelling, and country music's the perfect genre for storytelling that, you know, you really pay attention to. So picking up my guitar and writing my songs, you know, it just was what it was.
I'm guessing from the picture you've painted, you guys were all musically inclined. So you must have picked up tons of instruments growing up. Like, was it only the guitar you play, or did you play other instruments?
The first instrument was like this upright, beat up grand piano, like an upright grand, and yeah, it was missing keys. It was probably like mildly out of tune, and everything was by ear. So nothing was like learned, if you want to say, like,
yes,
nothing was
learned.
Learned,
yes.
You know,
it was not learned.
It was all just for the most part by ear. Uh-huh. And so piano, dabbled with that first, and then guitar, just taught myself.
Okay. You just taught yourself?
Yep.
Wow.
Damn.
That's amazing. Okay. So that was kind of the instrument that you wanted and started writing your own songs. What about songwriting? Because that's a big part of your brand.
Mm-hmm.
You're a great writer, and I actually want to talk to you about one of your songs, because we've kind of spoken about maybe where that has come from. But was songwriting something that you always, like, wanted to do? Is something that you just were like, I want to sing, but I want to sing my own songs specifically?
Yeah. I think it started with poetry, like poems and like all the just little things that I'd like to write when I was a kid, right? And I haven't always sang my own songs,
mm-hmm,
but definitely, and especially now more than ever, it is so important and imperative that I'm a part of that thread when it comes to releasing music.
When you say you haven't always sang your own songs, do you mean because you've sang covers, or do you mean because you've been writing for other singers?
I have sang covers, or I have had songs pitched to me,
okay,
that I've recorded and released.
Okay.
I have written for like others too.
So
I want to get into more of that as well. But
okay.
My last project before this project was there wasn't any writing for the most part on my part.
Okay.
But this new album, like everything coming out, this whole debut with the record label, is like I'm heavily infused in the writing.
In the writing,
yeah,
of it. Wow. Did you do any ghostwriting at all before any of this?
Like
writing for other artists?
I mean, I have, but not like not on a massive scale yet, but I have. It's starting to take shape now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's starting to come to light now too.
Hmm. Okay. Can we talk about inspirations for a minute? I feel like you've met Carrie Underwood before, right? There's the Chris Stapletons of the world, who I love. Morgan Wallen, the list goes on and on and on. Any particular artist that, like, it's like a dream collaboration of yours and mine?
You know, it's funny because, like, you say you think of one, but then, like, more of these acts come out and you just fall in love with more acts as they come out. But, I mean, like, to be honest, like, my first, like, the whole, like, Taylor Swift was a huge inspiration for me because she was writing songs, like, young female writing songs and taking the world by storm. And she was, like, the kind of that switch for me back when she was, like, you know, her first album, Love Story, and you know, You Belong With Me and all that. And I was just like, wow, like, this is when I was like, I need to get to Nashville. So, I mean, I've been pounding the pavement in Nashville ever since, just out of inspiration of what Taylor Swift who she's been as a singer and a songwriter. And obviously Shania Twain's a huge, you know, inspiration. Carrie Underwood is massive. I love Lainey Wilson. She's just taking the world by storm right now as well. And
how long did that take you, getting to Nashville?
Getting there?
Yeah, like getting, you know, like working in terms of,
like, pounding the pavement from there. Like, I mean, everything feels like a lifetime, to be honest. I feel like everything has been taking me longer than most people do.
Than you imagined, maybe?
Than I imagined as well. In Nashville, let's say, it's been a 10-year, probably now 11, 11 plus maybe even now, sorry.
Wow.
Because it was 2013 when I went to Nashville for the first time.
Wow.
And
was that hard? Because as a Canadian too, like, was that hard getting to, saving up money,
listen,
going
to Nashville?
Naive.
I was so naive. I was just like, I'm here. I'm going up and down Music Row. I'm introducing myself to people. I'm giving out my, you know, little cards or, you know, CDs or whatever. I don't know if it felt hard to me because I was just so ambitious and I'd email people and say, hey, can I sing at this round? And can I sing at that round? When you get to Nashville, everybody
is good.
Is good. And everybody is everybody. Like, it's like you end up in rooms with all these, you know, incredible folks. Right. So it's like anything was like blowing my mind. It was like, oh my gosh, I was just in the room with this person's drummer or this person's writer or that person's producer, you know? And I don't know if I felt like it was hard then. I was just kind of.
What did you do? You just got on a plane and went? Like
yeah, I went for 2 weeks for the first time and then started writing with my first time co-writing as well with some writers. And I booked myself some open mics and, you know.
And then came back to Oshawa and then
went
again?
I've been back and forth.
Okay.
And for quite a few years, like I said, this has been over a 10-year journey now.
Yeah.
And then made the move down. A couple years ago after I did a tour with Maddie and Tay in the U.S. But then I've been back and forth a bit because I've got stuff on this border as well, right? On both sides of the border.
Mm.
So, but it's only like now that these things are coming to fruition. Like, and I still feel like it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So it's one heck of a journey, man.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you. Were you in touch with your family at all during this
journey? Oh yeah. I've been in touch with my family.
Okay, cool.
I want to talk about, you know, specifically you and as an artist and the music that you're creating, like Hey Mama Made It and other wonderful songs that you've created. They often draw from personal experiences that you've had. Can you share a background or journey or a challenge you face that, other than maybe that song, that has influenced some of the lyrics and the music that you've created as of recent?
Yeah. You know, I just feel like the thread in my music is hope. Whether it's in a love song or a breakup song or a Hey Mama Made It song, the thread's always going to be hope. And I feel like, you know, I felt like I was the least likely person because I never came from a cookie cutter background. You know, I don't have the silver spoon. I don't have it all, you know, together. And I felt like there's probably people out there that's disqualifying themselves because they feel like they don't stand a chance.
Right.
And I think when I look back, I feel like, wow, how did I get here? You know, and it was only through perseverance. And I feel like the music that I'm writing is coming from that place. But I feel like it's just being redefined as time goes by. And I even start to accept my journey because, like, I've had so much questions about it, you know. And this is like, well, I'm not giving all the details. I think we're going to have to write a few albums to talk about all the things in between, right?
But yeah. Was Hey Mom, I've Made It kind of, you know, the way I read the lyrics was that it's kind of, and the story you've just told, an overall journey of what you just went through. You know, you talk about the broken road in it. You know, the broken road that you talk about, is that kind of what you just shared a little bit about having to work at Timmy's? And
yeah, the Timmy's part was probably the easy
part.
It's
not in there, yeah.
But yeah, like, Hey Mama Made It, and I'm talking about being famous, you know what I mean? It's like we're not talking about all the traditional markers of success. We're talking about, you know,
survival.
Yeah, and just the one day at a time, you know what I mean? And what making it meant for me and how other people might relate for themselves. You know, if you can get up one day, you know, when you don't know if you have another day left in you, then you've made it. You know what I mean? As opposed to making it like this one destination. And that can be really discouraging because if you have that expectation where it's like, I made it when this happens, you know what I mean? As opposed to like your daily goals of what making it might be for you.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, for me too, I've struggled with this, you know, this idea of having the end goal be the whole thing. Instead of the journey, you know, you've got to find, especially as an artist, you've got to find passion in the journey.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, it's going to be a brutal road. And I think that if you don't find, you know, if you don't find the fun in the journey of it, I don't think you do ever make it to whatever it is, you know, you want to make it to. So it's, I really appreciate that about it. I think you're right. It's about finding the good in every single day, because it's tough, man. It's tough being an artist.
It is. It's, and it can be very discouraging. And I think a lot of people quit.
It's almost kind of, I've been talking to this with, about, you know, to my artist friends. you know, as I get older, I'm 33 now, as I get older, I've been doing this since 2011 too, it almost kind of gets easier because so many people quit a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the longer you can hold out, the better, the higher your chances go up. Because when you're 17, 16, everybody thinks they can do it. And so they do, they try. So you're competing with all these people. But as you get older and take steps further down the road, it's almost like the road gets emptier because everybody quits.
Well, yeah.
Do you feel that way?
I can see that. Yeah. I feel, yeah. I don't, maybe because I've seen a lot of people. I was like, oh, I was in, like, we were all in this race, and you look to the left and the right and it's kind of sparse, right? At times.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I do see that perspective. Yeah.
Is that life? Do you feel that way in your business? Because you're a very traditional business. Do you feel like it's getting easier as you go down the road?
No.
So it might just be with artists. I don't know.
I think, I think there's the longer that you stay in the sports entertainment industry, I think it gets actually more competitive. The people, especially in sales roles that I'm in, they're all sharks and they all want to be the best.
Well,
it's very highly competitive, like specifically
in
mind, right? But yes, you're right. The program that I went to, I graduated from George Brown Sport and Event Marketing postgraduate program. There's like 70 of us in that program. There's like two or three of us that still work in sports entertainment. Everybody else works.
Wow.
One person works, I think, with the Olympics. Another person works at, I don't even know, in an agency. But then other than that, everybody else went back to doing their own thing.
Well, I think we might be saying the same thing, I think, is that there's less people, but they're way better. You know what I mean? Like, there's less people, but they're all really good because, yeah, they've persevered and had the experience and have gotten better. But, you know, so I think maybe it's in that way the same.
Yeah, that's something it's funny. I was listening to a sales podcast on the way here. And
what a nerd.
I know, nerding out. It's like prospecting, getting deals done. But one of the things they said was like the most amount of work you do in the first 30 days is going to pay off in like 90 days or 120 days, meaning everybody you reach out to, all like basically I'm trying to relate it to what you guys do, all the hard work that you're doing to go on tour, right, to booking time in the studio, that's going to pay off 120 days from now.
Well, right? I mean, a lot of people in our industry, you know, they look at the end result and they're like, wow, these, and not necessarily us, you know, but wow, these actors, for example, wow, they make $10 million a movie. It's like, yeah, but they made $0 for 15 years or like did not make a lot of money. It's kind of almost like if you worked a corporate job for 10 years, but I paid you nothing for 10 years.
Right.
You would want to earn like $2 million a year after that or $3 million a year just to make up for all those years of work. People don't realize that. They're like, oh, wow, they make so much money. It's like, yeah, but we went years without making any, with spending our own money. You know what I mean? Making no money. So it's not as easy as like, oh, wow, these artists make so much money. It's like the amount of time you have to spend just getting to that point is grueling. You know what I mean? So it's,
And that's why it's got to be more than money.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, and that's the thing. Yeah. Like you can't, the perseverance factor might just go out the window if it's about money. Cause it just like, it takes so long. Right. And, your driving force is always going to be like that conviction or that thing. It's like, I have to do this. Whether I'm as broke as a joke, you know, or am I, if it's the last thing I do, I've got to do this, you know. And
so what is that driving force for you? What keeps you going every day?
My little 4-pound Yorkie Trooper who I didn't bring to it. No, I'm joking.
That's valid.
I look at him and say, you know what?
I'm going to do this for you.
Yeah, I'm doing this for you. I have that little dream doghouse for you that I want to get you.
I
want to give you a nice backyard to run in. But no, honestly though, I for me, and just back to the quitting thing, there is no like judgment or shame or condemnation to anybody who has just kind of taken a different path because I get how hard it is. And I feel like everybody, you know, I'm not encouraging quitting, but I'm just saying like, you know what, like this is real stuff that people endure and, kudos to whoever who's made it as far as they have, you know, but.
And kudos to the people who realize this wasn't for them too.
Yeah.
Like I graduated theater school with people, you know, my amazing classmates. It was only, I think 18 of us graduated. So it wasn't a lot, and I love every single one of them. A lot of them just decided it wasn't for them. Like, rejection was not for them. Being told no every day, being told you're not good enough, being told you'll never make it, it just was not for them. Like, it, and they decided, fuck no. Like, I'm out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to endure this for 20 years, 15 years, whatever it is. So good for them that they realized that wasn't for them. It's tough.
It is. For me, that drive, because I'm faced with that, you know, if I'm being honest, like you get faced with like, man, like, do I still got it in me to go one more day, you know?
Yeah.
But I just feel like it would almost be the equivalent of dying. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's like, it's when you really feel strongly that you're here to do something, and if you're not doing it, it's almost like,
what's the point?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know, right?
Jeez. Shoot. I didn't know we were going to go that morbid on this podcast.
Yeah, today, well, you know? it's like a do or die, but I don't know, man. I just, again,
no,
I'm taking it one day at a time.
Yeah. Good, good. I like that.
No, and I don't mean like...
No, I like that. No, I get what you're saying. It's, yeah, man, as an artist, it's like, what's the point? Like, what's the point if I'm not doing what I love, you know?
Yeah.
That's the way you kind of see it. You see it as like, if I'm not going to do this thing, then what's the point of
doing anything? I can do whatever. I can do anything. Yeah. I can do something else. Fine.
But what's the point?
I think it'd be robbing myself of my true joy.
Yeah.
And in terms of like future projects that you're working towards, what's like some big projects you got on the horizon that you're really excited about?
Well, I mean, I'm excited about my EP that's coming out and then album that's going to follow after. We got some music videos that we shot in Nashville, and I'm going through the editing process right now. I'm so excited about them, and just expanding on the story and the vision and how we're just gonna make an impact on people that were kind of like in my boat in the future. So I'm really excited about that, this being my first, like, you know, my first run with an actual label.
Yeah.
You know?
So tell me about that, because getting to that point is huge on its own. It's a massive accomplishment. How did you get to that point? Because I know you were self-producing music for a while. You said you went down to Nashville and you were, you know, just being an artist, and then getting to the point where you get with Sony, get with a huge label. How's that been?
It's been great, because it's like more hands, you know, feeding the machine. And it's like...
we've had a lot of musicians now use that exact thing, the machine. Yeah,
yeah, it's a beast, and some of us need it, man, to continue to grow. If we haven't gone viral or something, you know, it's good to have a team, right?
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about it. I just achieved my first top 10 on country radio.
Congratulations!
Like, ever, yeah.
That's amazing.
With number 6.
With what song?
With Hey Mama Made It.
Yeah, beautiful song.
Thank you. Yeah. And I was just like, this is wild. You know what I mean? It's like the first song that I put out that I'm writing, you know, in the world, you know, and goes to radio, it went top 6. And I'm very grateful for that. And I've been crying a lot. Like, I can't even get through how these songs, you know, acoustically or wherever I am without just shedding a tear, because it's like, it's living in the moment, and it's just like you take all the time in between for granted, but then when that moment happens where it's like, wait a second, like, this is happening, and it's just wild. So
well, it's cathartic too, like songwriting out of experience. Not my experience, out of your experiences when you're writing your songs. I'm sure it's very cathartic because you're putting your heart out there, and when it does become successful, you're like you knew it. It's almost like, I knew it. I knew people were going to relate to this, you know, because you put so many years into that.
Yeah. And there's the knowing, and then there's the like, whoa, like, you know that it's something special when you put it out. But then there's the hold on. There's more people that is resonating with than I thought. Like, the one reel went over 1 million, you know, views, and people were using the sound for all sorts of reasons why that song meant something to them, you know what I mean? So that's great.
How does that play a factor in it now? Because I'm assuming when you first started, there wasn't TikTok, there wasn't, you know, all these social media platforms. I don't even think there was Spotify growing up, you know, there wasn't. It wasn't like streaming services. It was, I still remember the days where I was buying CDs, like I was buying.
I was on Apple, I was on iTunes, and I think Spotify, but it wasn't like a thing where it's like, the how many people are consuming.
How has that changed the game? How has that changed the business side of it? You know, because I know that there's, you know, we're just not selling CDs anymore. It's different now.
Yeah. It's changed the game. That's definitely changed the game.
Does it factor in at all? What I mean to say is, does it factor in at all to your art and how you pursue your art? Or for you, it hasn't changed. Like, you still create music the same way. You're not looking for that viral moment. Because some musicians are. Some musicians are, like, making music for TikTok. Like, that for that hit on TikTok.
Yeah. Of course, I've there's times where you have some of that, like, motivation, right? Yeah. But not solely, no. Absolutely not. Like, all the stuff that's coming out of me right now is like just the real deal, man. It's the authentic thing. It's a thing. It's the time to say what I want to share. Mm-hmm. And if it happens to hit, like, you know, virally or whatever on a massive consumption level, amazing. You know, mm-hmm. I'm very grateful for that. But if not, I just have to have the faith that somehow it's going to reach the people that it needs to reach.
So give me an inside look a little bit, because I don't know. I'm not in the music world. You know, I've had to go into studio and sing and stuff for one movie, but that was it. Other than that, I'm not a musician. So walk us through, like, the little while before finally signing with a label and how that was. How did you feel? Were you taking other meetings? How did it come about? Did they contact you? Were you pursuing this for a while? How does that all work?
Yeah, you know what? I found out that there was interest from Sony. And in Canada, and
how'd you find out? What do you mean?
Well, I found out through my current management at the time.
Okay.
And that there had been some interest, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because you feel like most of your career, or whenever you're pursuing your musical, I don't know, goals. One of them would be signing a major record deal, right?
Right.
And that was my goal. But it's funny because when it comes knocking, then you just have all these questions, right? Like, is it the right thing? Is it the right place? Is it the right, you know? Mm-hmm. And thankfully, you know, there were people on the team where I felt like this is the place for me. And even though I might have been talking elsewhere or had my sights elsewhere, I feel like... I'm grateful for the fact that I had people that had this energy and passion enough for it to make me believe and be convinced that they're going to take care of this as much as I do. That might be naive of me to say, mm-hmm. but so far, I've seen things that I haven't seen or experienced things I haven't experienced in my career, because I feel like that energy, from the team is matching mine. And I think that's important, because, like, you might think this is supposed to happen this way, it's supposed to happen that way, it's supposed to happen there, and it's supposed to happen at this time. But the one thing that I'm starting to pay attention to, be more conscientious of, is that, like, is just the energy of the people that, you know, get brought into the picture. And it's like, you know what? It doesn't matter where it is.
Right.
It just, I feel like there's a... belief here,
right?
There's like faith here, you know, and I think that's the most important thing. It's just people who are willing to, who believe and willing to work, and I think you can. The sky's is the limit.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, what you're saying is it doesn't matter how, where, when, as long as the energy is there.
Yeah, it's like, kind of more like the who.
Yeah, yeah. Feel the energy is right. Yeah, yeah, that's really important. So yeah, to go back on Alex's question, so you've got your EP. You've got the album after. What about performing live? I mean,
I'm getting all these offers now, man. I'm going to be playing some.
That's great.
I'm going to be playing some shows and stuff. You know, summer's shaping up to be pretty good.
Okay,
good.
Great.
So I'm excited about that.
Do you like being in the studio more, or do you like live more?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a great question. Because there's something to be appreciated about both dynamics, but I love to perform.
Yeah.
Because I get to be with the people. Yeah. Like, I get to see how the music that I'm making behind the scenes hits, you know, when the curtain's pulled open. So
Yeah. And you grew up in that environment. Yeah, you grew up in that environment. I can imagine that that would be your, not your preference, but, you know, what you love to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool.
I notice in country music, there's typically, there's like a blending of genres that's happened right now. I feel like a lot of more blues inspiration from rock. What are some other trends you're noticing in country music, even rap?
Mm-hmm.
Lil Nas.
Mm-hmm. yeah, a little bit of hip hop or something's going on and, you know.
You into it?
Sure, why not? Hey, if it hits, it hits. You know, a good song is a good song, you know. I think, like, music is how it makes you feel, you know. So if it feels good, then it's good.
Right, because you said yourself, like, growing up, your parents, you can't even really put a label on it. It was... You said a little bit of folk.
Everything, man. Folk. Yeah. Rock and roll, like, it was everything, right? So I guess I'm a musical mutt in a sense. But in terms of country music and genres coming in and influencing, I feel like it's just expanding more of an invitation to a broader audience with all these different sonic appeals, you know, and genre kind of mingling. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And I think that there's a whole bunch of subgenres too, so it kind of makes room for more people.
Right.
And outside the genre of country, is there any other genre that you get inspiration from, like jazz, rap?
You know what, I like to listen to instrumental music, actually. I like to listen Yeah, just like whether it's movie soundtracks.
Oh, like Hans Zimmer.
I love Hans Zimmer.
I thought you were gonna say, oh, Alan Disney's Menken, like Disney's Aladdin soundtrack.
That's not instrumental. No, that's musicals.
Disney's soundtrack.
That's very different.
Disney, I love Aladdin. Aladdin was one of my favorite.
Great flick,
cartoon.
Eh?
Yeah, Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and that's
thank
a
you.
Big
thank
deal.
It's great.
Big deal for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's great. But I like Hans Zimmer, yeah.
But Hans Zimmer, like, Alan Menken, like,
yeah.
Or, you know, Vivaldi or somebody, or, you know, like, when it comes to just classical music.
I could see that, actually. I could see, like, a group of violinists behind you.
Oh, yeah.
Doing some
rad
shit.
Oh, we're going to go there. We're going to go there.
Yeah, somewhere. I could see that.
Yeah, I think there's some violin happening, and I did the Hey Mama Made It piano version. A little bit of... violin happening. There's another song, I think, but yeah, no, we can mess with more of that.
Yeah, please do. I see that
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, just stuff that doesn't even have to have lyrics, you know.
I can just
peace out.
And are there any other goals or projects in the future that you're working towards, that you...
So after the album, after the EP?
That's a good question.
Are you just focusing that, taking it day by day?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I'm just looking for my audience, you know, my fan base. Like, who are the people? Who are they? You know.
Yeah.
And because that's the most important part is about us all.
Mm-hmm.
Is who it's connecting with. So, I think that's just where, you know, my focus is going with the music, is who's responding and how can I be of better service to them as an artist.
Yeah, I feel like country now, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like country now is more about a feel than a sound. Does that make sense? Like, when you see somebody perform on stage, they look country and they feel country, but they don't necessarily sound country in the sense anymore because it's changing so much. Like, when you say you're a country musician...
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Is it your sound that you're referring to? Is it the feel? Is it just who you are? Like, your energy? Like, what is it specifically?
I mean, there's definitely elements that classify something as country music when it comes to instrumentation.
Okay.
Songwriting, obviously, is a big deal in how songs are written.
Right.
In country music. But that's an interesting question, because I think it's been brought up with certain artists that have entered the genre, or like... You know, someone like myself who isn't the typical mold, you know.
Right.
I get asked a lot, like, why country music? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just something that I've loved to, like, I just love I love music.
Have you noticed a barrier to entry because you're black? Is that the thing, or is it changing now?
I obviously there's been progress mm-hmm. when it comes to people that are, you know, more diverse backgrounds in country music. I think now more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
I can say maybe doors were closed because maybe people didn't take me seriously or didn't know how to, like, there was a question mark, like, how do we, you know, market this, or, you know,
right.
But, I just did everything out of my pure love for for the art and mm-hmm. for the craft. And obviously it was a fragment that came out of me from where I grew up in small town, like everyone's playing hockey or there's a rodeo across the river, or you know what I mean, like it's
yeah, for people listening who don't know, like Oshawa and Warkworth, yeah, it's so country I don't even know how to say it.
Not that's even a... Oshawa's like big city, massive big city compared to Warkworth.
Yeah, Warkworth I'm sure is country, but Oshawa is if you compare it to like New York City, pretty country. There's cows and shit. All right, there's cows as you're driving.
I go to White Feather Farms to get my eggs. Like but they're slowly like building up. So I hope that we don't lose. I like to go longboarding on the back roads, just, you know, by the farms.
I drove to Oshawa twice last week, and it was an hour 15-minute drive. And
what are you doing in Oshawa?
I was doing work. I was working there.
In Oshawa?
Yeah, I was working in Oshawa there, and I drove from Newmarket to Oshawa, and it's pretty country. I mean, for me, you know what I mean?
It's there.
It's there.
There's cows and lamb and all kinds of farm animals. sheep, I guess. Lamb is, there's sheep and all kinds of animals, so tractors. It's pretty country.
Yeah, I remember I got on the wrong GO train when I was interning at this agency. And I was like, what is all this? Like,
you headed eastbound?
Yeah. And I was like, what is all this? I'm seeing like lakes. I'm seeing a lot of like farms.
This is what we think of country now.
That's funny.
I'm like, where the hell am I going?
And did that ever discourage you? Like, were you ever, growing up and knowing that you wanted to do country music, did you ever think of, maybe I shouldn't do country. Maybe I should do something else because like, I don't look like everybody else that's doing country.
No, you know what? I evolved into country. Yeah. Okay. Like, I mean, pop punk, everything's a thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like when I picked up my guitar and wrote my first song by myself and started like put my foot into the industry, it was country. Right. And that's just, it was like when I found my voice and I found my thing, you know what I mean? Did I get discouraged? Not really. Like I said, I just did what I loved and I freaking, you know, like, I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking, how do I get to be as good as everybody else? You know what I mean? Like, aside from whatever my external is, like, how do I just get to be like everybody else? So I worked really hard at it, and I still am.
Yeah.
And here I am. And I feel like when I get on a stage, people, like, when it comes to the fan interaction, like, when I've done a tour across the U.S., and... you know, even out here, like in Canada, it's just like nobody's talking about anything else other than the fact that like how much they love the song or the music or how much this resonated with them. I don't think that people, for the most part, are worried or bothered about external. They just know if something feels good.
Yeah, well,
and it just takes the blinders. Like, it's just, there's no... I don't know how I'm trying to say it, but...
You can disarm people by your art. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, sure, there's times where it's like, if they ask you, are you a country artist, and you can hear the record scratch, you know what I mean? Yeah. But, like, those barriers get moved past, I think, quickly once they hear you out.
Yeah.
And I don't think that has discouraged me. That hasn't been the bane of my discouragement, if that makes any sense.
Right, right.
If anything, it's kind of more a fuel.
Yeah.
Right.
As you enter this next stage of your career, why do you feel like you belong here, you can do this. Like, what's your message? I think what makes you different, mm-hmm. As you try to reach these audiences and find your audience, like you said?
That's a good question too. I'm just trying to.
What do you feel like you have to offer to these new audiences? You know, like if you were trying to find, like for me, for example, right? I always tell people, you know, I'm an ethnic kid from a small town in Markham, and I just want people to see me and believe that they can do it too. Like believe that they can do it at the highest level. What is it that you think your audience is? Who is it?
Well, you know what? Anyone that needs hope. And hope can be, like, again, it could be if you feel like you don't have what it takes. You don't have the support system. You don't have the family. You don't have the deep pockets. You don't have the inheritance. You don't have the hair. You don't have the background, the complexion, whatever it is, whatever you need, whatever it is that's going to make you feel disqualified. My main thing is hopefully when they see me, and maybe even when they see my stories, you know, or hear my stories, that they feel like they have a chance and that they give themselves a chance. Because, like, you go to my Instagram, you see all these red carpets or Carrie Underwood or whoever, like, I'm taking photos with and all these big smiles. But I think it's really important for people to know that that's not my everyday life. And I got there with, you know, a lot going on behind the curtain. So I just feel like just people having that real human element, and anybody that needs hope.
Love it.
That's deep.
Yeah, I love it. No, I love that's it. That's deep, what it's
we're
about.
We're getting real deep on this podcast. I love
that. Yeah, no, that's what it's about.
I got a question in terms of, you know, looking ahead and advice for somebody who might be a minority, who's trying to break in the country. You know, you're telling them to have hope. Similarly to you, any other piece of advice that you give to somebody who's trying to break out into the country music scene?
Be authentic. Like, nice. It's authenticity at the end of the day, you know, what your story is, you know, and what matters to you, and your love for what you do. I think that's just be authentic, man. Like, I feel like every day there's a redefinition of the whys and what you would say, you know, but I feel like it's all going to come down to being the real deal, like your honest you. And another thing too, what I'm starting to learn too is to accept your journey and your story, and the timing and everything else that comes along with it.
I love that. So many people are focused on the end state, the end goal.
Yeah.
And I love that you're focusing on just the journey. Even when Sasha and I actually met, I don't think you know this.
No.
I used to work with, in the soccer realm, at Canadian Premier League, and she came and did a halftime performance. I just remember you were like, you had like a zest for life, like an energy unparalleled. This incredible energy and upbeat energy, even before she performed, during the performance and after the performance.
I try, man. And thank you for that, because that's what, like, if you come out to a show, all I want you, like, maybe it's an escape for a minute, you know what I mean? Maybe just get your mind off of something that's going on that's tragic, you know? And to anybody out there, like, you know, it's just hold on to hope. And if you give yourself the chance and long enough, you just might see your dreams come true.
I love that.
Damn. All right. Before we end this, I want to do a quick speed round.
You got a speed round.
I was writing it on here. Okay, so
this is something new Alex likes to try out.
We usually say we don't do games in interviews.
It's not a game. It's a speed round of questions.
Like rapid fire or something?
Yeah, rapid fire, yeah.
Okay.
No, we'll see.
All right.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I didn't see this, by the way, before, so if I did not, this is all Alex. Here we go.
Okay. Carrie Underwood or Taylor Swift?
That is so nice.
You can pass, too.
But, you know, like, Taylor Swift, obviously, she's been, like, foundational for me, so.
Okay, cool. Piano or guitar?
Guitar.
Me and already asked this, but 2 weeks on stage, or two weeks in the studio. Okay, there you go. Perform at a sellout at Scotiabank Arena or sellout stadium at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, Madison Square. Come on now. Sorry,
Scotia. What kind of question is that?
I don't know. With Canadian roots.
No, man. It's Madison Square Garden. It's iconic, man. That's iconic. I love Scotiabank, but that's, come
listen,
on.
Listen, I feel Square like Garden. If you can sell out Madison Square Garden, then there's a good chance that Scotiabank is either already under the belt or coming.
Yeah, it's the tougher one. Yeah,
you
man.
Can do Madison Square. You okay. probably have a good shot at
Would you be the top country artist, number one, for 1 year on Spotify or the top 10 country artists for 10 years on Spotify?
Oh, wow. That's 10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Top 10, 10 top years. 10, that's 10 a good years. Question. Yeah.
All right. And then lastly, Elvis Presley or Queen?
That's really, really rude. That is so rude. Wow. I know I'm wearing an Elvis
Presley. No, but it's...
Queen?
Hey.
Queen?
Yeah.
I would agree. Queen, man. Yeah. Queen's
okay.
amazing.
All right. Yeah. Amazing.
Prime Queen is incredible.
Very good.
Yeah. Right?
Good toss-up, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Good questions.
Well, wonderful. Well,
yeah, well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We're wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
We want to see you succeed. I think your music is amazing. You have an amazing smile, too.
Oh,
it lights
you.
Up the room when you smile. So I feel like we're going to be seeing more and more of you, and people watch out for Sasha.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Can't top that. Thanks for coming on the
Thanks
show.
For coming
Thanks
on
for
the show.
Having me, guys.
Thanks for tuning in and listening. Please subscribe, share, and join the journey of Growth Untold. Don't miss a single nugget. Hit that follow button now on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and Instagram.